Thanks for downloading the South Everett Foursquare podcast. This is Pastor Chris Pepler, and you've joined us for a conversation on calling, specifically what it means to be called to hope, the confident expectation in the eternal salvation we find in Jesus. You can find us every Sunday morning at the Village on Casino Road or at our website, southeverett.org. Thanks again for downloading and enjoy today's podcast.
Morning, church.
Everyone deserves a Lord. It's the song of the redeemed. He will be enthroned, and we will be his people. He will be our God, and we will be his people. This is our inheritance, that we will eternity be in fellowship with him. His children, his people, before his throne, praising his name. This is it. This is his inheritance, that his holy people would be before his throne, praising his name. From across generation to generation, tribes and tongues. From this empire and this empire and this era and this era, we will praise him. We'll be joined. We'll be joined with those people that lived in exile in Egypt. Consider that.
Thank you, Jesus.
We'll be joined with those who lived in exile in Babylon.
Thank you, Jesus.
We'll be joined with those that rebuilt the walls in the book of Nehemiah. We'll be joined with those that maybe came over on the Mayflower. Or we'll be joined by those that lead underground churches in China. Those that praise the Lord in the streets of Iraq. Those that stand in Hagia Sophia and go, God, not this God, but you, God, we praise your name. We'll be joined forever and worship him. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory and honor unto you. Holy, holy is our God who saves us. Yes, forever we'll worship you. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord Jesus. All glory and honor unto you. Holy, holy is our God who saves us. Yes, forever. In 1 John chapter 2, many, many good things are said. I'll read one of them. Starting in verse 24. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And this fellowship we enjoy, the eternal life he promised us. This fellowship we enjoy with God is the eternal life he promised us. That we have been reconciled to God through Jesus.
Yes.
That we have fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that forever, forever this fellowship remains. One of the other cool promises is that fellowship we have with the Father, we share with many, many others. And we have fellowship with all these people. Love God, love people. It's the commandments, right? Love God, love people. Those are the commandments. Obey my commands and you have fellowship with me. Love God, love people, have fellowship with me. What's the promise when we obey his commands to love God, love people? Fellowship with him. Fellowship with others. God first. And out of God first comes a whole family that we are joined into. I'm excited to worship God with this family here this morning. We're going to do it for all of eternity.
Yes.
Traditionally, this has been a weekend that I have in my mind thought about and called South Everett Forward. We're a four-square church, but moving forward on the Word of God, South Everett Forward. I always want to get us kicked off in the fall together, realigning ourselves with the vision that the Lord has given us. Now, here's the thing. When the Lord gives us a vision for something, we know if it's from the Lord, it will come to pass in pictures. That it will come to pass in stories. That if God calls us to something, we will be able to then give a testimony about it as we step it into it in obedience. I've watched this with so many people. I'll pick on Justin because sometimes he picks on me. But a couple, about 2 years ago at this point, we were talking about some vision, and Justin ran forward and said, I want that. I want more direction. I want more understanding of God's will and purpose for my life. I want to step into that. And so he stepped into an intentional process with us of discerning his identity and his calling. And now Justin is in his second year of being really a chaplain, I'll say. That's not the official title, but it's how he demonstrates the gift that God has given him is to just love kids where they're at and be present with them. And Justin stepped into that. So as he had a vision for his life of reaching the next generation, because well, that's what it's really about, he can now tell a story of surviving a week of after-school football without breaking a leg. Like, that's a story and a testimony. You did pull a hamstring. There are kids that know Justin's name and find encouragement in his presence because Justin stepped into something that he was called to. That's just one example. We can spend the rest of the time. I just go around the room and share stories about that. And when we think about what God has called this church to do, if it is truly from the Lord, there will be pictures. There will be stories. There will be the ability to say, yes, that is it. And what we just experienced, specifically with the Knoblocks, was it. If we want to talk about the vision for the church, that's it. It's to help us discern the calling that God has placed on each of our lives, not just alone and apart from the whole. That's narcissistic to say, God gave me a plan, and I'm just going to step on the heads of everybody around me and get to where I'm going. That is not the kingdom. That is not the kingdom of heaven for sure. We are a community of people in this season who know that God has given us a calling, and we work together to help discern what that is, and then sacrificially, we give of ourselves to see that come to pass. We give of ourselves to see it come to pass in the lives of other people. There's a gentleman that just walked into this room, Tyrone McMorris. Give a hand for Tyrone. Tyrone is one of my dear friends, and the Lord uses us in each other's lives to help discern that ongoing calling of being partners in this neighborhood. We get to be with each other to see that happen. This church, God has called this church to be a place of identity discovery and vocational launching. That we would launch, we would all be launched into a thing that we are called to. For some, that's going to be part of this ship's company. An aircraft carrier has a group of people that never leave the aircraft carrier because you need people to operate the aircraft carrier. If this church is that, then some of us are supposed to be here to foster that environment to receive and to send and to receive and to send. And even in that, there's the responsibilities. Some are air traffic controllers. Some stand on the deck and they launch the planes like in Top Gun, you know that scene where that guy's just like, go, go, and the plane goes. Some people are that. Some people work in the kitchen. Some people work down in the room fixing stuff when it breaks. That's where Perry's at. A real, you know, nuts and bolts, puts his hands to a thing. He could be in the kitchen too because he does a pretty mean pulled pork. But we all have a purpose. Sometimes we're on the ship and for that looks like being involved in children's ministries or being a part of a worship community or being a part of Brian and Justin and Perry's crew that come in here before anyone gets here and set this space up and tear this space down. Or maybe it's part of a teaching team or maybe it's part of a hospitality team. And there's the inner functions of the church, and that's a place where you can be sent, but you're sent to it. You are commissioned to it because God called you. Then there's people that are like, you know what? What I really love is this neighborhood God placed me in. And so I want to be sent like Lorraine across the hedge to be the light and the hope of Jesus in the Bluffs and to build relationship and to tell people about the hope of Jesus. So Lorraine doesn't have to do a bunch with the ship because she's getting launched from the ship, but not far, just across the hedge. And then sometimes, if we're operating in the way that I feel like Jesus has called us to operate, we will receive people knowing that it's going to be pretty quick when we send them and we celebrate that. Vision from the Lord is always followed by good stories. And when I had the chance to finish writing that email about the Knoblocks and sent it, yeah, I was a little sad. But I was also like, that's it. That's the first completed cycle of this. And that as a church, we would pray that the Lord would bring people to us for a season, to be equipped with a deeper understanding of their identity and a deeper understanding of their purpose, and then equipped to go do it. That's it. That's the vision. Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. We read this at family camp, but I want to share something else about it that came to mind as I was thinking about calling and purpose and what this church exists for. And Paul says to the church in Ephesus, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, he's talking to the church. He said, I got a report about your church that you're good at loving people and you're good at loving God. Paul says to this church, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking. It means this is an exercise. This is a work of endurance. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you, church in Ephesus, the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And this is our focus. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. And what is that hope? It's the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power to those of us who believe. Now, when we think about inheritances, don't we often think about the stuff we're going to get from the people in our family that are older than us when they die? Right? Sometimes we think, what's am I going to get? What's in the account? Where's the house? Where's the car? Where's the fine china? Whatever it is that we got our eyes on, we think about that as an inheritance. But the kingdom of God is not about stuff. It's not about resources. It's about relationships, because we're not taking any of the stuff with us when we go. The old adage is that no hearse is ever connected to a U-Haul trailer. You don't take any of the stuff with you. You take the impact of the relationships, because we're all brothers and sisters under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So the inheritance is relationship with his church. That's it. And everyone who will come to be a part. Everyone who will come to be a part. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And the power, the incomparably great power for those of us who believe. Do you know what the power says? The power says there's enough power that raised Jesus from the dead to bring that relationship to people who don't know him so that they might know him. We all have a story like that. The people who loved us, that invited us into the kingdom. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. We are called to hope. Let's unpack that. What is hope? What is hope? Hope, in the Greek, in the language in which it's written, hope is the word elpis. It's a word used by Dr. Luke, by the Apostle Paul, the author of Hebrews, Peter, and John. Elpis, 53 times in 47 verses. Hope, what is it? Hope is a word that gets used a lot in these New Testament letters. But what does hope mean? A joyful and confident expectation in eternal salvation. A joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. Whatever may come does not matter, because my hope is secure in him. Hope. 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 There are things that we can wish for. Christiane and I have had beautiful conversations about this. Oh, this would be really cool if that happened. But if it doesn't, it's not going to shake the end of my world. But he's helped me to know that it's okay to wish for stuff. That God would just bless us with some things. And if we get it, great. And if not, well, that's okay too. But what doesn't move is hope. Hope in the eternal salvation that God has given us. We've been called to hope. The hope to which you've been called. Even in the midst of hardship, Paul says to the Corinthian church in his second letter that we have recorded in our Bibles. We think there's at least three, maybe four letters that he wrote to that church. But we have two. In the second letter, in chapter 4, in verses 17 and 18, Paul speaks to these light and momentary troubles that are achieving for us in eternal glory. Think of every trouble that you have in the flesh, every trouble that you have in your circumstance, every pain in your body, every ding against your bank account, every pain that we endure in the flesh is light and momentary. Now, it never feels like that. Every one of them, because there's an eternal hope that we can look to and beyond that. Hope is hard sometimes. Can anyone admit to that? If we're real honest, hope is really hard sometimes. Yeah. Hope is tested. Don't we know that hope is tested? And it's when hope is tested that hope is proven. Because We can all hope if everything's going great, but hope is there when it's hard. Mark Einfeld and I went hiking deep into the wilderness on Friday and Saturday. And you get to this point where you go over a ridge and you lose cell phone signal. But I had it for the first hour of the hike. And while I was going up, I was just giving God glory for some cool things that had happened this week about this church and this community. On Thursday afternoon, I get a call from a young woman named Ashley, who grew up as a part of Casino Road Kids Ministries and a part of City Life and was a part of this congregation for a season. And now she's a nurse. She graduated from Seattle Pacific University and got this full scholarship, and all she wanted to do was help people. And I haven't talked to Ashley for a while, but I got a call from her the other day. She goes, I'm working at the health clinic down the road on 19th. And you know what? Who I ran into? I ran into one of those families that lost their house in the Park 120 fire a month ago. Can you help? The cool thing was, Mr. Tyrone and I, and the leadership of the village, and hand-in-hand in Millennium Ministries, and Cozy Connections, and a bunch of other people who want to see good done in the neighborhood, have been working together to be prepared to help some of these families. And then Ashley reached out. And I said, Ashley, I think we're ready for this. And so I sent a note to that whole cohort of people on Thursday afternoon and said, guess what? There's a family whose house was lost in the fire that needs help with new clothes and school supplies and maybe some first and last on a new apartment and all the rest of that. And within instants, just boom, people responded. We can do this. We can do that. We can offer this. And Ashley now has these resources to give to that family. That's the church working with the community to see good things happen. I was thinking about that going up over that hill. There is good news. In the same week, yesterday, coming back over that hill, away from this device for the better part of 24 hours. You know how overly busy we are because you pass over that ridge and your phone starts going ping, 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 ping. All these texts coming in, messages coming in. And one of them was from Minta, who was the director of City Life when that was happening here. And she goes, did you hear that was shot and killed yesterday morning? Like, all that hope and circumstance just... And if you've seen in the news, because it's all over the news, this young man on Hardison Road, early morning, Friday morning, was gunned down and is gone. I didn't want to do anything the rest of that hike. And the Lord reminded me of this message that I was supposed to teach today. He goes, hope is eternal. Don't lose hope. Even in the worst of situations. I tell you what, this community, not just the people in this room, but there is a Casino Road community of beautiful people who love each other deeply. And the Lord gives us power to deal with the grief that we endure. Don't lose hope. Because our hope is not in this life. It's in Him. We have a hope. We are called to hope. We are called to hope. What is hope again? Hope is a joyful and confident expectation of eternal salvation. It's all we are guaranteed is what comes after this life. And we put our hope in it because it gets us through. And other people get curious about that hope. Because how could you still go on? How could you still go on after this death and that death? Why don't you just throw in the towel and quit? That's what the enemy wants us to do, is throw in the towel and quit. We grieve. We should grieve. To not grieve is to not be human. But we grieve like those who have hope. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. We don't grieve like that. We weep, but we don't grieve like those without hope. We have hope to get up and go again. We got hope for that, amen? Amen? Even in the midst of hardship, even in the midst of these light and momentary troubles that are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So here's the question. Through what lens do we view our troubles? How do we view our troubles? This is where I was at coming down that mountain yesterday, thinking about who I'd never see again in this life. The Lord said, how are you going to view that? Because I was like, Lord, it's just too hard. The problems are too deep. What are we really even doing showing up and just loving people? Like, really? we're doing that and people are still dying? Isn't this funk? And the Lord said, how are you viewing this? And I wrote this message, and then I was like preaching it to myself coming down the mountain. Sometimes I view through the lens, the troubles that I face, through the I gotta fix this lens. Anyone got one of those? I gotta fix this. Sometimes I view it through the this is gonna last forever lens. Anyone got one of those? Going through a hardship? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't live in it. I walk through it. We walk through it. Sometimes I got the this is gonna ruin my life lens. And we got one of those. Sometimes I got the I can't overcome this lens. And I can't, but he can, because he's the overcomer. Sometimes I got the I'm to blame for this lens. Could have done more. These are the lenses I use from time to time when I'm choosing to operate out of my own strength. That's when I know I got to flip the strength back over to him, because his power is made perfect in my weakness. As we turn to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, there's another lens that we can look through our burdens at. There's another lens. It's the light in momentary troubles lens. That's the lens. These light in momentary troubles are achieving for me an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Doesn't make the pain less, but it gives me a reason to believe that there is something on the other side of this unimaginable pain. It's the lens that I think that Jesus was looking through when he looked beyond the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, Hebrews tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know what the joy was? I don't think Jesus was looking at the cross. I think he was looking beyond the cross. He was looking beyond the cross, and who was he looking at? I think he was looking at the Father, and he was looking at us, because he knew that eternal relationship with us was worth enduring the pain of the cross. Yeah. The pain we endure is our most credible witness to those who do not believe. Because everyone's doing fine on a good day. How are we on our worst days? Who still gets the glory and the honor and the praise? Our most credible witness is our stewardship of the pain that the Lord allows us to endure. Want proof? It was the death and the resurrection of Jesus that has changed the eternal direction of this planet. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus' story is compelling because it cost him and his Father greatly. Remember that our Father in heaven chose us before the creation of the world. We spent the whole weekend talking about that last weekend. We were chosen before the creation of the world. The Father's love was so strong that he sent his Son to the cross. We can endure pain. And this is my hope. You know my hope? That in my moments of light and momentary trouble like the ones that I'm feeling today, I remember there's a better lens to look through. I remember that Jesus looked through that light and momentary trouble lens and he saw something better. Jesus endured, and it's a direct outcome. I know that I can endure in my calling, because guess what? My calling, your calling, it's going to be hard. Yesterday, for a minute, I didn't want to be engaged in helping this greater community any longer. For a second. Because it's painful. But then I'm like, nah, that's where God called us. We have hope. So we will endure the pain. Because celebration is on the other side of the pain. We'll get through it. Our calling is going to be hard. Don't quit. Don't quit. Jesus endured. He has sent his Holy Spirit. He's our guide. He's our comforter to be the representative witness. That's what we get to be. We get to be the representative witness of Jesus in the community. I'm called to hope. That's what I'm called to. What are you called to? What is your hope? Is it a joyful and confident expectation of your eternal salvation? Because if it is, you can do anything through God who gives you strength. So what makes us think, as we spend the next few minutes, kind of at the beginning of the year in January and September, I like to call us back to a thing, which is just to remember, why did you come here this morning? Like, it's sunny out. You know, like, football started today and stuff. Right? There's a whole slew of games you could be watching right now. You get 2 days a week to sleep in. Ed gets one. and he chooses to get up and come. What did you come here for? What did you even come here? What are you doing here? Oh, thank you. You came for hope. We got to remember why we come. It's not a religious exercise. There's no attendance record in heaven for church services.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Is that it? Did you believe and confess the name of the Lord Jesus? I come for hope. Sometimes you got to wonder if you get paid to do this, like Tyrone or myself or Marilyn. Do I come for a paycheck or do I come from hope? After being on staff with Eastside for 15 years, I started to wonder, would I still do this if it wasn't my job? Like, that's the thing that pastors wrestle with. What am I coming for? And then I pastored for a year and a half without working at a church when I was with the mission. And guess what? I actually showed up for hope. And I showed up for hope because I wasn't getting paid to be there. For me, it needed to be proven again. I know with this community, I show up because of Jesus and because of you. Yeah. Why do we show up on Sundays? It's hope. Ed said it. Based on the new definition of hope as articulated by the earliest followers of Jesus, I come here because of a confident expectation in the eternal. I got a picture of some guys. Those are a bunch of dudes outside of Seattle's Union Gospel Mission on 2nd Washington in downtown Seattle and Pioneer Square. These guys, for years, we had a Bible study. The Bible study formed out of guys going down and building relationships with guys in recovery. The Bible study moved from the Eastside Foursquare campus in Bothell, 23 and a half miles to Pioneer Square. Same Bible study, same dudes, but they moved to a different location because they wanted to be intentional about just welcoming people into the community. And one night we're eating dinner with guys that are in the recovery program. And one of the guys shows up from the mission and he looks at the guy who was leading the study. His name was Scott. And he said, "Hey, are you guys doing that Bible study tonight?" He was kind of upset. And Scott goes, "Yeah, we are." And he goes, "Good, because I need some hope. And if I don't get some hope, I think I'm ready to end it." Hope in community based on the word. Calling. We are called to hope. That whole group of hope bearers right there, the ones that live in the shelter and the ones that don't, we were hope for each other. And that guy didn't die that night because he had the hope of Christ as represented in the body of Christ. Hope. Hope. I have hope. That's why I show up here. So that I have hope. Hope is powerful. Because I'm called to hope, I am called to a way of life that is a source of hope to others. Because of hope, I am called to a way of life that is a source of hope to others. That's what we are as South Everett Foursquare Church. We are hope bearers. We bear hope for others as others bear hope for us. We're going to throw one other slide up here. I think it's just a picture of a bunch of people. This has been the tangible hope, just a portion of it in my life and in my story. This is hope. If hope, if the inheritance is God's holy people, that's a picture of it. We know that we are living into the inheritance if we can put a collage together like that or something similar. Maybe there's two people up there. Maybe there's one person up there. Or maybe there's nobody up there for you yet. But you, this is my inheritance. These are the people who have shown me hope and who I will live with in eternity. I didn't get Father Pat Ritter's picture up there, but he was the Catholic priest who let me wear my hat during Mass as a little boy and dance in the aisles while the hymns were being sung. Father Pat represented hope for me. He went to Jesus on July 26, 2020 at the age of 73. I didn't much appreciate the confirmation classes that I had to go to, but he was the first one who introduced me to a name called Jesus. Hope was found through Brian Arwine. He was the one who, when I would walk into a room as an 11 or 12 year old, he would come and greet me in a room full of people. And the Lord used Brian in my life to help me understand that God sees me. He is hope for me. Someone told me about the name of Jesus. Somebody showed me that Jesus loved me. Hope was found through the Gilgans family. His name's Josh Gilgans. We call him Moose. I don't know why. We call him Moose. Still my friend. Met him when I was in 7th grade. He was in 4th grade. He was in our wedding. Had lunch with him not too long ago. Because I grew up with single dad, single mom, no siblings, the Gilgans, who lived about a 90-second bike ride from my house in Kingsgate, my mom just said, "You should go spend as much time with that family as possible so you can experience family, the Gilgans family." I'm having lunch with Karen later this month. She's like second mom. I always text her on Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. They graciously welcomed me into their home when I was a teenager. This was 5 years after I put my initial hope in Jesus. They invited me to go to a camp where I committed my life to following Jesus, like letting him be my Lord and not just my Savior. At that camp I got invited to, hope was found through Brandon Brzee. He's the one with the kid on his shoulders. He's a supported missionary of this church with his wife Marcy and their two kids, Caitlin and Hudson, and they live in Cologne, Germany. He was the first follower of Jesus who was my age who invited me into a friendship where Jesus was the center. That's hope. This is my inheritance. Hope was found through Gabby Lugo in Puerto Peñasco, Mexico in 2001. He grew up outside of Puerto Peñasco. He's an artist. He's a worship leader. He's pastored churches. Now he works in the schools. And together over 9 years from 2001 to 2009, we found creative ways for teenagers to move past language barriers and other cultural barriers to find their commonality as Jesus followers. He's been an illustration of hope. And Gabby would come up here and like stay in her house and paint a mural on our wall for Savannah when she was a baby. He still lives in Puerto Peñasco. He's got a family of his own. Hope continues to be found through my wife, Kat, and the kids, who remind me that grace is a tangible reality. They're part of my inheritance. Hope was found through Mike Johnson and Jeff Lilly, through the mission. Those guys taught me that there's lots of congregations in one church. Hope has been found through Chris Manginelli, who saw it fit for us to come and meet all of you. He pastors Mill Creek Foursquare down the street. Hope is found through each of you. Right? So like Rush Schlecht, who pastors Eastside Foursquare Church now in Bothell, has been there for 7 years. And he left a congregation that now Lauren's parents pastor and they're a part of at Oak Harbor. Russ left a really good gig with some really good people to go pastor a church that needed him to be a pastor. He left a community that he loved to go pastor people he didn't know. And that was right when we were transitioning and launching from Eastside. And the first thing he said, I'll never forget it. He's standing up, just been installed as the pastor of the church. And he said, we long to have relationship and history with each other. And relationship takes time. And he knew it, that he was leaving a community of people that knew him, knew his story, going to a community of people that didn't know him and who he was and what he liked and who his family was. And he went anyways. And guess what? That church is thriving in new ways under Russ's leadership. It takes a while. When we came to South Everett, I've always been a minister of the gospel in King County. When we came to Snohomish County, I didn't know a soul. Nobody knew my name. Nobody knew my story, my history, if I had any credibility. And it just has taken a while. COVID didn't help with that. Intellectually, and in the deepest resolve of my soul, I know that we're family. I left family camp last week feeling it in my feeler that we are family. I've just lived off of the goodness of that and have been overwhelmed by God's goodness. Like Mark just had to listen to me go on and on and on about it while we're hiking about, like, no, this is family now. This is people who get me, who I get, who we get to do stuff together. That's what this church is. We're just people that get to know each other's callings and move forward. I just want to tell you, we talked about hope, a confident expectation in the eternal. But what is calling? The same way Jesus did, we call others. Through relationship, not to church services, but into the fullness of life of those who would become the church. Do you hear that? It means that some people we're going to meet and we're going to be the church to them for a long time before they ever come to one of these. And this is not a prerequisite for relationship. That's why a lot of people don't come to church services, because they feel like it's not really about them. It's about the person who's inviting them so that they can put another notch in their belt. And maybe they'll come, great. Maybe they won't yet. I don't know. That's up to him. My job is to love him and love others and let God do the rest of the work. And that's, I think, how Jesus just, he didn't say, hey, follow me into the synagogue. Church starts in 4 minutes. Put your nets down now. Church starts in 4 minutes. You better be there. Change your shirt. Wash your mouth out, you filthy fisherman. It's not what he said. He said, come follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of people. It says in Matthew 4:18-22, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen.
"Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them and immediately left their nets and their boats to follow Jesus. Hope is a joyful and confident expectation in eternal salvation. That's what hope is. What the New Testament writers were communicating to those who they wrote about when they were referring to calling is something quite magnificent. And calling and hope go together because we're called to hope. When we are called, as it is according to the Greek in Ephesians, we're being invited into a feast. That's part of it. You're called like you're getting invited to a feast. Doesn't everybody love a feast? Jonathan Toadie threw a feast at his house for some dudes in this church. Invited all the dudes in the church. And we could go to his house and he made these burgers in his backyard on a beautiful night in July. And it was a feast. And there was food left over because we couldn't eat it all. That's a feast. I was so excited to go to Jonathan Toadie's house that night for the feast. I'd been invited to his home for a feast. It's an invitation to a feast or a divine invitation to embrace eternal salvation. When we are called in the book of Ephesians, we're being called to embrace an eternal salvation. We're being invited. When Jesus called the disciples, there's a different word in the Greek used for called. It's to invite by name or be given a new name. He knew their names. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, follow me and I will rename you as fishers of people. We are called. God wants to give us a new name. He wants us to look beyond the cross, beyond our pain, to see the hope that he has called us to. We are called to hope. What does that mean for you? What pain are we called to endure? What new name is God giving us as individuals in this collective of South Everett Foursquare Church? What is he calling us to? I think he's calling us to family. And the power we receive from the Holy Spirit to invite others into family, regardless of their belief, at the point of invitation. It wasn't for a while that Peter said, "You are Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah." Jesus walked with Peter before Peter confessed him. So as we close, and there's not time for small groups today, but I want you to take this question with you. What relationships and or experiences in your life have increased your hope in the resurrection power of Jesus? For me, it's an inheritance of people that have been, that are, and that will be. Because God says that my inheritance is God's holy people. And the power that raised them, Jesus from the dead, is the power that we can actually survive with each other in relationship and not just survive but thrive together. Don't we need the power, resurrection power of Jesus to deal with conflict? Amen? Don't we need that? But we love each other despite our faults. That's because of the power. The inheritance we get is each other. So think about this. What relationships and or experiences in your life, like the ones I've shared with you, have increased your hope in the resurrection power? And how can you freshly be that for others this fall? Be hope for others. Jesus, thank you so much. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for family camp. Lord, no rain, no smoke, no COVID. Maybe a little COVID, not very much of it. Lord, but just a great gathering last weekend of being the family. Lord, and to see it again this weekend. God, and there's highs. There's things to celebrate. Families being supported who've lost their homes in a fire. And there are lows, deep lows, of lives gone too soon. But Lord, we have hope in something eternal. You are eternal. We place our hope in you. God, would you pour your Spirit out upon this church freshly this fall, that as we simply follow you, not our own plan, not our own agenda, not our own program, but as we show up as the present and available people of Jesus on Casino Road, God, work through us, even when we don't know you're doing it. Fill us with the fruit of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray.